You're listening to a DM podcast.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
This is the Dude Cinema Podcast.
But I was just like scrolling through it like nerds. Like I don't care.
Movie shaming needs to stop.
Obviously, a dude wrote this script.
These teeth aren't friends, and I'm like, I'm about it.
I honestly think that this movie should just be called Red Flags.
Let me, Miles, tell you.
Fuck you, Stanley Kubrick.
This is the Dude Cinema Podcast. My name is Alex J, and with me is my gorgeous, effervescent, stunning, up in my face co-host, Beck Chowers.
Hello, this is the podcast where we watch all the movies that dudes have told us we have to see. And this week we are joined by a very special guest from one of the biggest podcasts in Australia, guys. So pay attention. It's Jacob Stanley from Just the Jizz.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Jacob.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Apologies up top, of course, as we like to do to all our guests for making you watch a movie.
A three-hour movie.
Not only a movie. Yeah. So just apologies up top. We just want to get that out of the way so there's no tension in the air in the room today.
Really glad you addressed that.
Thank you. Good.
If anyone would like to send Jacob a gift basket or flowers of some sort on our behalf to apologise, please do.
Please do.
At Jacob William Stanley on Instagram, just reach out and I'll let you know the best postal address. I move around a lot.
Yeah. We'll put a Venmo up in the show notes or something. But so before we move on to the episode, we'd like to know if you have anything you'd like to plug, anything you'd like our listeners to know about. Obviously, you're Just the Gist podcast.
Yes.
So everyone has to go listen to that right now. It's fantastic if you haven't already.
It is a podcast that I do with my very good friend Rosie Waterland, who you may know. She's a pretty well-loved comedian and author. She's written some fantastic books and she does touring with some stand-up as well. And yeah, we do this podcast where once a week we tell a bizarre true story from some point in history and give you just the gist of all the best bits. So it's none of the boring detail, just all the juicy stuff. And then we also have a second episode now each week where Rosie basically just scours the internet to find the most bizarre, quirky headlines she can find.
Fuck yeah.
We call that breaking news. And yeah, she shares stuff with me. In a lot of cases, it's stuff that I really don't want to know. Certainly stuff I don't need to know. And I'm forced to listen to it.
Against will, but.
Yeah. So if that sounds like it's up your alley, certainly jump into that. But yeah, the core Just the Gist story episodes, the classic episodes, they're fun for everyone.
I just realized we have made you do something against your will on this podcast too. I'm so sorry. Women in podcasting, we need
to
take a step back.
No, I was blaming myself for this last night because I told you could choose the film
from a list
you'd sent through of options. What I should have done is gone through and just
you can choose any of these 90-minute
options. And yeah, anything that was over 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Apologies.
Anyway, here we are.
Here we are. We're here. Fuck you, Martin Scorsese. So to start, so we're doing the movie Casino.
Yes.
That's what Jacob chose. And
okay. Righto.
This was a group assignment.
This was a group assignment.
Okay.
Yeah, this took all of us.
Yeah, you did this to yourself as well. Yeah.
Was I not on any of the email chain? Yes, but I will still take a percentage of the grade.
So, Jacob, what's your history with the movie Casino? Hadn't seen it before?
No.
Had you heard about it before?
I was aware of its existence. And I think that I've just realized in the last few days that I've had a mental block to watching this movie and probably all of Martin Scorsese's other films. I don't think I've seen any of them. I have not seen Goodfellas. I haven't seen any of the Godfather movies. And I think the reason for that is because Rosie and I met at drama school. And when we were at drama school, there was this group of boys who were just obsessed with this type of movie to the point that in like lunch breaks and recesses and in every class they possibly could, they would just want to reenact scenes from these movies.
Wait.
And they'd
film bros, but drama school film bros.
Yeah, yeah.
So they,
they wanted desperately to be actors. Surprise, none of them have become actors. They were not talented at all, but they were just, yeah, they honestly thought that they were going to grow up and star in Martin Scorsese
films. Be the next Pacino.
Yeah. So they'd memorized all the dialogue and, like, obviously we gave them a wide berth. When they're in the same sort of space as you.
Yeah. You're aware of what they're doing. Yeah.
It gave me the ick. And so I think any time that I've even considered watching one of these flicks, I just straight away thought of those chaps and was like, no, something else.
I love that so much. Mm. That is so dude cinema canon here. Yeah.
This podcast is a retaliation to that specific behavior.
Yes, and we thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yes. Well, look, we're 4 years in. We still haven't solved it. But
you might be becoming part of the problem. Because confession time.
I will confess, I think I liked this movie.
Who are you and what have you done with my best friend?
Surprise.
No, because it's got – okay, we'll get into it. This will just be a therapy session for me. Mm-hmm. Beck, what's your history with the movie Casino?
I have not seen this before. I knew of it. I knew it had been on our list for a very long time. I knew that Sharon Stone was in it and I knew that she was hot as fuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I knew. And that's honestly most of the movie.
That's the big positive of the movie, the costumes and Sharon Stone.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sharon Stone in her costumes.
Yes. Maybe one of the only redeeming factors for me of this film. Yeah. But we'll get into it. But
Who am I? I knew of this film. I think I always thought it was like the shittier Goodfellas because I feel like everyone.
Also, not wrong.
That's true. Because like everyone, I feel like, has always talked about Goodfellas. It's like the classic gangster movie of Scorsese's. And then I always felt like Casino was just a bit like, oh, and there's also Casino. So I just, all I knew that was that Robert De Niro was in it. I didn't even know Sharon Stone was in it. I didn't know who she was until like 20 minutes in. Then I realized that Sharon Stone.
Oh.
So yeah, real blank slate with this one.
The real middle child, I guess, of Scorsese's.
Yeah.
Well, is it The Godfather, Goodfellas,
and then you're okay like to be Casino. Compared to Casino.
I'm fine. I've been to therapy as a middle child a lot, and you know what? It has its benefits.
Shall we jump in?
Yes, let's do it.
All right.
I was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I had it down so good that I ran paradise on earth. I had one of the biggest casinos in Las Vegas to run. The Tangiers.
No one stays at the top forever. In the early 1970s.
Sorry, that's just the tagline to every gangster film ever.
Yeah.
Just be like, you know what? It ends badly.
Guess what? Cocaine's involved.
You think it's good, then rut-row. In the early 1970s, Las Vegas, low-level mobster Sam Ace Rothstein gets tapped by his bosses to head the Tangiers, that's what it's called, Tangiers Casino. At first, he's a great success in the job. But over the years, problems with his loose cannon enforcer, Nicky Santoro, his ex-hustler wife, Ginger, her con artist ex, Lester Diamond, and a handful of corrupt politicians put Sam in an ever-increasing danger.
Oh, that's wordy. That's meaty.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. It also really reminded me of who people are in this movie and their names. And so that will be helpful.
That's really helpful.
But I don't think it covered everything. So, Jacob, in your own words, how would you summarize this movie?
A resounding who cares from me. Look, I found out this morning it's based on a true story. Mm-hmm. And that sort of made it make sense to me a little bit more.
Sure,
it's based on a man's memoir. And names have been changed. I'm sure a lot of events were edited as well. But yeah, that helped it sort of make a bit of sense to me because the whole way along I was like, why do I care about these people? Like, when is the story going to kick into gear?
100%.
And then when I was sort of like, oh, okay, so it's kind of like a biopic. Which way do you guys say it? I always
whatever
get
way you want to say.
I do exactly what you just biopic. Did. I do both.
Right. Hedge those bets. Yeah. So it is just about. I think it's kind of a voyeuristic look into what it's like to run a casino, I guess. Yeah. Mm. And you know,
in the '70s, before they had computers, and
that's right,
people could just do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Wild West, and there was a lot of money and a lot of corruption and a lot of violence as well, and a fair bit of sex. So I guess that's why it appeals to those
dudes,
boys at drama school.
Mm. Yeah, they're like, I don't have feelings. It's all just money and fun and
glitz and glamour and boobs.
Mm. Yeah. And then you're like, no, look into your trauma, please.
That was an excellent synopsis. Yes, that's exactly what this film is. And really good notes. So I spent like the first 20 minutes of this film wondering when it was going to start.
Mm.
Did you feel that as well? Beck, like,
going to be honest with you, I, believe it or not, with my time management skills, was running out of time to watch this movie before today's episode. I set aside 2.5 hours to watch this movie.
For a Scorsese?
Well, I thought it was going to be two. I was like, it's a longer movie, so it's going to be 2 hours. So I may have skipped certain parts of it. So I skipped the whole first, I think, at least 10 minutes. Because I was like, this will all be faff. This will be at least a 2-minute opening credits. Uh-huh. And then some guy being like, it was the good old days. Me and Johnny and the boys.
Spot on.
Yeah. Was that it for the first 10
Spot
minutes?
Spot on.
Oh, my God. I knew it.
It's that. It was that trope of, which we got with like Magnolia, of just all these dude movies just introducing a million characters in very quick succession. So if you're not paying attention, you're like, do I even keep watching this film if I've missed all of these characters? But it's really not important.
Okay, because I still got most of the film, even though I missed all of the. His name was Bobby Sucks.
Do you know what? It's good you missed that, because the whole first 10 minutes is setting up the hierarchy of the gangster world in Vegas, and you hate hierarchies.
I don't like it.
In film.
I believe in communism, and if you listen to that podcast, this podcast, you know. I take a moment. I take 20 minutes every episode.
Yeah, you do.
It felt to me like I was watching a really slick recreation style documentary.
Yes.
Because you've got the voiceovers of Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro at the same time, and they're just stating fact after fact after fact and starting to put together a little bit of an attempted plot.
Narrative.
And yeah, this is weird.
Yeah.
Why can't you show me instead of telling me? And you'll know, you did not miss a single female saying a word in the first 10 minutes, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't until minute 22 that the first woman had her line. There was one extra said some sort of throwaway line in the background of one thing. But yeah, 22 minutes, which is when we met Sharon Stone. Then it was like, okay, now the movie's beginning. Hooray.
Wow.
What a breath of fresh air.
Now we're into consciousness.
And wasn't the first thing she's like, don't you fuck me. And then she's just slow motion, like throwing chips in the air, being like, I'm beautiful.
She's just having a good time. But yeah, that first 20 minutes is all narration and setup. But usually that kind of wraps up in these movies after 5-10 minutes. But the first, it was just all narration. I had the same thing. I'm like, shit, am I about to watch 3 hours of narration and then like act outs of what they're narrating? And pretty much the whole movie was that. Lots of words. Very dense script in this film.
What did you guys think of the narration throughout? Do you think it was something that helped the movie, or was it necessary, do you think?
I got used to it, but I don't know if that's like a Stockholm syndrome situation, but I didn't hate it by the end.
Okay. We can go ahead and just spoil anything.
Absolutely.
The one time that I really liked it, and I think it was used really effectively, is at the very end, Joe Pesci is narrating when he goes to that meeting with his brother, I think it is, the desert. And midway through a sentence, while he's narrating, he gets hit in the head with a baseball bat or something, and then he's killed. And normally you expect that the narrators make it through to the very end, right?
Yeah.
They're the final girls. But in this case, he sort of dies while he's narrating.
While he's narrating, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't notice that, actually.
Notice that either, because I was in a rush.
That sort of made the narration pay off for me, I guess. Yeah.
That's a long time for a payoff, though, isn't
it? Agreed.
Martin, if you're listening. Should we go through cast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this cast is insane.
Mm. Is this all the exact same, basically the same cast as Goodfellas and The Godfather?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Except in Goodfellas it had that other guy.
Ray Liotta. Yes.
Ray Liotta.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. So Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. What's your relationship with Robert De Niro as a film goer?
Look, we probably connected most closely in Meet the Fockers.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I think he actually does comedy really, really well.
Yeah, okay.
What else? Did he do Cape Fear?
Was that him? I think that was a Scorsese Robert De Niro movie.
That was a really good movie.
Mm. But again, it's Godfathers. Well, if you haven't seen all of Scorsese's back catalogue, that's most of Robert De Niro's back catalogue.
Yeah, they've got like 10 movies together or something, don't they?
Yeah.
I love that he made it to that list of the cuts etiquette rules for living in New York.
Oh, these were crazy, but weren't they?
Even if you know him, don't call him Bobby. just call him... Because it's one of the things, it's like a status symbol in New York. But if you know Bobby, you call him Bobby. And so people just go around dropping the name Bobby.
Bobby De Niro. Ew. Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to call him Bobby.
So he's a cultural icon.
Yeah, he is.
How about you guys?
I found in The Godfather, he was very hot.
Yes,
like
he's gorgeous.
Like I will say, he has this like wistful stare about him and he's got very dark eyes. Mm. And this for me is like this movie, I think, is on the cusp of, like, I still found him quite attractive in this movie.
Yeah.
That is probably also because he was standing near Sharon Stone a lot. I think that helped.
Absolutely.
And the suits.
The orange suit.
Can we talk about all... So I did a little bit of IMDb trivia research today because I liked the movie. The costume budget for the film was $1 million. Robert De Niro had 70 different costumes throughout the film. Sharon Stone had 40, and both were allowed to keep their costumes
afterwards.
Oh. Like, I want to rob Sharon Stone's house.
And Robert and Bobby De Niro's house. I want some of them suits.
No.
I will.
One of her gowns was a Bob Mackie.
What's that?
Oh, Bob Mackie.
I'm so sorry.
Oh!
I know, I don't know things.
He designed all of Cher and Tina Turner's
outfits.
Like the big glittery ones with all the feathers and stuff.
Every iconic Cher look designed by Bob Mackie.
And
all the costumes for her tours.
Oh, my God.
Iconic.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and so he did a few gowns for Sharon for this.
I read that one, not chain link, but gold
beaded.
That apparently. Mm.
That's the one.
Oh, really?
And it weighed like 20 kilos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Wow.
I thought it was like the orange little check number that she had on at the very start. You only saw it for a few seconds. And it was like orange and like silver and it was like check pattern. And she just walked through the casino when at one time. And I was like, I want to get married and I want to be buried in that dress.
It's the most
beautiful thing I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah. Probably a Bob Mackie once again.
Probably, yeah.
I read somewhere as well that they had special wardrobes for in between like takes, if that makes sense. And when they were just hanging out in their trailers, so they didn't have to get completely out of character and get back into their 1990s garb.
Mm.
They had specific wardrobe just for like what they'd be lounging around in
trailer
as
wardrobe.
Their characters.
That's pretty cool.
And imagine they got to keep that as well.
That would be fucking sick. Because Robert rocks a 70s suit, I will say that. For Robert. I thought he was gorgeous in this film. I love him so much. I agree. I think he's right on the cusp. I reckon whatever his next movie was, it's like now he's old Robert De Niro.
Yeah, he's done the daddy to father transition.
Exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
Once the turn of the millennia happens, he becomes father.
The turn of the century. okay, so then next we've got Joe Pesci.
Oh,
who plays Nicky?
The mean one, the bad one.
Yeah.
The bad one. What do we think about Joe?
He's got a real temper. Look, I can only remember having seen him in Home Alone.
Yes.
I'm not sure what else I have seen him in. Mm. Home Alone was 5 years before this one. Casino.
Really? Okay, yep, that makes sense.
And what I was most surprised by was the facelift.
I was going to say, because he's had work done since Home Alone.
And I was trying to Google it to see if I was correct and whether it was a facelift or whether it was like just face tape. Which they were doing very much in the 90s.
Just tape it
and then put the wig over the top.
Yes.
But like his eyes are pulled so tight and then his skin is bunched around his ear and jaw really, really badly. And I was like, oh, he's either just had a really imperfect facelift since Home Alone.
Yeah. I couldn't unsee
it. Or maybe this is a choice. Maybe this was a choice for his character. But yeah, it was so distracting.
Do you know if it was? Did it say anything?
Different theories I saw online, nothing conclusive.
I was wondering the exact same thing. I'm like, is this for the character? But the character Nikki doesn't seem especially like vain or materialistic in terms of like looks.
That's so, I think people never grill men about their plastic surgery.
Yeah, true. Mm.
Makes me so angry.
Yeah, true.
Because I was thinking, I was like, Home Alone surely was then way after this because he looks so much older then. It all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd had a freshen up.
But yeah, definitely. Any side, any profile shot of Pesci, you almost see the lines. They're almost drawn on.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
It's a bad look. So now I want to look up some other things that he's in and see if I can track the timeline.
Jacob, have you seen the Michael Jackson created original film Moonwalker from the 1990s?
I have not.
Interesting. Not a lot of people have.
Interestingly, being buried since then, it's very difficult because it is a children's movie.
Made by Michael Jackson.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
As a former lover of Michael Jackson.
Not
I watched it
sexually.
A lot. No. He wouldn't. There's things about me that don't tick his boxes. But anyway, I used to love him. Grew up watching this movie. It's so shit. It's terrible. But Joe Pesci is the villain in it.
Okay.
It's very strange to have. Like, it's just 100% just called in a favor. Like, no one else in it is a known actor. But then you've got Joe Pesci playing the villain.
Really?
So that might be, I was just going to say that might be something else you know him from, but.
No. I haven't had the pleasure. No.
That's fine. Oh, God. I forget about that every 3 months.
I made
Beck
watch it.
And then it just slips in as a reference. And I'm like, oh, I can never get it out of my brain.
Yeah, I made Beck watch it. Yeah. Don't watch it. I don't want to do it. We already did this to you once.
I'll look up some stills though.
Unless you like things that are like fantastically crap.
Yeah, true.
Which I often do.
It is a great fantastic crap movie.
My top pick for films in 2022 was Halloween Ends. That was a riot.
Awesome.
Yeah, so dreadful. Makes zero sense.
Yeah.
And I didn't cackle in any other movie the way I cackled in that one.
Fantastic.
One of my favorite movies of all time is Showgirls. I adore it. I could watch it a million times, except for the horrific rape scene. Just skip over that. But the rest
go back
of
to
it
the pool sex scene.
I think Sharon Stone actually auditioned for one of the roles in that.
I remember that. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah. They nearly ended up with a much bigger cast for Showgirls than they ended up with. And poor Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah, oh,
didn't
girl.
Work out all that well for her. If not her, it was going to be Madonna. Anyway.
What?
I have digressed. Yeah, apparently Madonna was...
For Showgirls,
but she wanted some script tweaks to be made.
Oh, and they were like, no.
Script approval.
This is a brilliant script and there's no issues.
This masterpiece will not be sullied.
All of the physical blocking stays. We're really married to it.
This is why Madonna's a little bit loose cannon now. She's like, I've been gaslit so hard.
Everything leads back to Showgirls, yeah.
Yes, it does. So then we've got a bunch of other Italian gangster men who all look the same. Did any of those other, as Anna said last week, miscellaneous men stand out for you guys?
No. Obviously no.
Yes, no.
There was my brain.
Several lawmakers or like half lawmakers, like politicians or people that worked at like the attorney's office or the districts, just a lot
the
of district American.
Attorney, yeah.
Yeah, what is it? Bureaucracy terms that I don't understand. Yeah. They all looked exactly the same.
Yes.
So I can't.
District
and
attorney
vaguely
always
familiar.
Shows
up. Yes. All of them had this sort of, I've seen you in something at
else,
some
yeah.
time.
You've been a featured extra in a lot of things, I think. I only learned after like reading some trivia about it that the actual, you know, the guy that he hires to be his manager of the casino, the short old guy, that's Don Rickles.
Oh!
Like an old famous comedian.
Oh!
And yeah.
Huh.
No idea.
I guess because he wasn't being funny, I didn't recognize him. All right, can we get into
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Sharon Stone.
Oh. The diva.
The goddess. Absolute
the last
goddess.
True movie star.
Yeah, really, really is. Mm. Hey, have you seen Basic Instinct?
Of course.
Of course. Great. Yes. We only did that recently.
Yeah. And I just
did
like.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely yes. Bewitched by how beautiful she is in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine.
Michael Douglas? Was it Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck off. Go away.
Get away from her.
You don't deserve to be in her presence. Go away. Mm. But Sharon, ugh.
Yes. She's sensational in this role.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Born to play this role.
Mm.
I love the moment when, because when I first saw her, I was like, oh, because I didn't know it was Sharon. I was just like, oh my God, Ginger is gorgeous. Like, who is this siren? And then I love the moment when Joe Pesci and his wife meet her for the first time. Do you remember that? And then they just like walk into, I think like Robert's, De Niro's like apartment, and then they see Ginger and both of their faces, they're smiling, they just fall because they're just so shocked at how beautiful this woman is. It's like the perfect introduction to Sharon Stone in this movie.
When she first comes on as well and she's sort of smiling up, I thought something had gone wrong on my laptop because there was no sound.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no music, there's no speech. It's just a moment of silence as you sort of get this stunning. I assume it was intentional. Maybe
I think
it
was. No, I do remember that. Yeah.
That was really effective.
That was really effective. Mm. And that's Marty. All right, guys. Now I'm on first name basis. So that's Marty.
With Mr. Scorsese.
Bobby and Marty.
Look, I feel like I've just watched enough Scorsese films now for this podcast that I am like comparing him to other directors that I hate and can't stand watching. So, like, I was watching this movie and just getting a lot of Tarantino vibes, or like what Tarantino wants to be.
Yes.
Like a lot of quirky music, like drops and like that kind of thing, like going silent really quickly for an important moment. So, and then like I think about like Stanley Kubrick, who is just like the worst dude that's ever existed. And then like you hear Martin Scorsese and he doesn't seem like a bad dude, and I like those moments that he does in the storytelling. Mm. I like the way he tells stories.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my pitch for Martin Scorsese.
Would this be your favorite Scorsese film?
Oh my God, I can't believe anyone's ever even asking me that question. What have I become? Thank you. But I'd say no. I liked Goodfellas more, I think.
Yeah, I think I liked Goodfellas. We watched it 2 years ago.
That was
now.
A long time ago. Uh-huh. That was a lockdown one.
Oh.
That was in the first lockdown.
Oh, yeah, because that was like 2.5 hours. So we were like, we've bloody got that's the time. Let's get these long ones. And we thought we did all the long ones, but we didn't. There's so many long-ass movies.
The longest one we've done is another Scorsese, The Irishman. Did you hear about that? One came out during lockdown.
I honestly don't think I've seen any of his movies.
That's so refreshing.
That's awesome.
Jacob, that is so refreshing.
Gangs of New York. I don't know what else he's done, really.
I mean, it's basically just you've seen Casino now, so just that's like it. Kind of different flavors of this movie.
Okay. Right.
Literally, it's just all, not all, but like mostly gangster-based stuff. And like we said at the beginning, like it always escalates to a crescendo and then it all comes crashing down. That's the basic plot of most of his movies.
Okay, cool.
But or trilogies, because it takes 3 movies to get there in The Godfather.
Right. Okay.
That's the slog.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Goodfellas is like this, but without the casino. It's just boys having a little tiff.
Organized crime, yeah.
And then The Godfather is the same, but
with a family.
Super Italian. Just everyone's Italian in there. And then what's another one?
That's it.
That's all the important
taxi
ones.
Taxi Driver.
Oh, Taxi.
Nah.
Yucky. Don't like it. No good.
Okay.
What do we think of her character arc? Like how she started as this very strong, incredibly intelligent, independent woman and then just kind of decomposed into this like blubbering mess that ended up ODing and dying.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
Oh, awful. Yeah. But also you could kind of see it coming. Mm-hmm. Particularly the conversation that he was like, let's get married. She's like, I do not love you. And he's like,
oh, that combo.
That's fine. This will not be an issue at all.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
Like he's basically just making her his full-time sex worker.
Yes.
Right? And yes. She's just got to then cancel all of her other clients.
Yeah. Mm.
And then bit by bit, he takes away her independence.
Completely.
Yeah, and autonomy. And
And so then she's stuck between him and then Lester Diamond, did you say his name was? The James Woods, the ex-pimp
guy. Yeah, I didn't know that was James Woods.
Ugh.
Ugh, yuck.
Skrrr.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I needed a shower after watching any scene with him.
Gross.
Yeah.
Slimy.
Yeah, so the fact that he just managed to keep his hooks in her as well. She had these two men that were using her in different ways.
Yeah.
And then, stuck in this situation where she's got kids. Apparently in real life, the real Ginger had three kids that she didn't want. She didn't want the life at all.
But she was just sort of forced to breed, basically.
Thrust into it, yeah.
Well, that's what he says, because he's like, that whole conversation just gave me such ick and such like scared for the rest of her life because she's been put in this situation where she can't really say no.
Mm.
Like he's saying, look, just marry me. You might fall in love with me. If it doesn't work out, no big deal. You're free to go. But she kept fucking saying no, and she kept saying, giving reasons why it wouldn't work, and he just kept persisting and kept pushing her and forced her into that position of marrying him.
When he was like, don't worry, I'm going to like, even if we break up, I'm going to look after you. And I was like, that has never, ever happened.
Have you ever seen a Scorsese film set?
It's like, even if you like cheat on me, beat me up, whatever, like, you know, kill my family, whatever happens in the future, I'm going to make sure that you're okay.
Take care of you.
Oh my God, I've had men be like, I love you and not take care of me at all.
It just gave me such, I was just so scared for it. And then, being basically forced into having his kid, he's like, we don't get married, so you don't get the security of my money until you have my kid.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's actually my worst nightmare. So she couldn't like, what's she going to say? No. She can't really get out of it. She's like, well, I want the security for the rest of my life. And the way I pay that is by having a kid. It's like, I didn't really blame her when she wasn't a good mom and all that stuff. It's like, she didn't want it in the first place.
Oh yeah, not mad at her at all.
Yeah.
She tried to, you know, look at all the fancy jewels.
And exactly.
Like, okay, this makes it worth it.
She was
lying on the bed with all those like the gold jewelry. Mm. I was like, that is sexy.
That is pretty cool.
That is so hot.
Yeah.
It is. But
this will be good for a while.
It's going to wear off.
Yeah.
The thrill you get from that. Yeah.
So I was wondering what you guys thought of it, because what we try and remind ourselves in this podcast is that a lot of these female characters are written by dudes.
Mm.
So did you feel like it spoke true to how this might play out for a woman in that situation?
I don't, Jacob, what do you think?
As a non-woman.
As a woman. I thought this was very real.
It felt real to me, yeah.
The ramifications of having your life controlled by another person and everything.
Just being pushed to the brink of literal hysteria.
Yeah, I do. Hey, there is this trope, though, in these movies of, you know, a woman, she's a wild woman, she's a lady of the night, or a sex worker, as we call them these days.
But in the 90s, it was lady of the night.
And that meant that she was also, like, on drugs and obsessed with money and just had all these, like, awful, bitter, evil traits. And they're like, well, of course she was going to lose her mind at some point, because she's just such a degenerate and she's fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is never a redemption arc for these women in these movies. And it always leads to them either like burning themselves out or someone else killing them. It felt real. Like, it did feel like it's like, this is a believable character, but it was also like a little tropey.
It felt real. Like, I was like, yeah, I would go crazy too. But it also felt a bit two dimensional. Like there wasn't a lot of depth in there. It's just more like, okay, she's obsessed with money, she's obsessed with drugs. That's kind of her whole story. Whereas I feel like the male characters got a lot more, I don't know,
death
zhuzh.
Yeah.
Mm. To their motivations for things.
Mm. I would be really interested to know whether it was based on a real event or not when she ties the daughter up to the bed.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The house.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. That was disturbing.
That is extreme.
Yeah, shit.
That any mother would do that.
Yeah.
But maybe it is, yeah, based on something the real Ginger did.
Because
That sort of felt like it pushed it a bit too far. Mm. I did believe, like, the car... You know, when she's using her car to destroy his.
Yeah.
P.S. That is Sharon Stone behind the wheel. I read somewhere that she was like, that was one of the funnest parts of this.
She's ramming a car over and over. God, I love it.
Like, just got to cut completely loose.
That is really cool.
And then, yeah, like the screaming and shouting when the cops show up and she's demanding to get access to the house, like when she was just in that full-on frenzy.
Yeah.
It did feel believable.
It did. Me. Yeah.
But I say that once again as a non-woman.
That's okay. You can speak
just
for us.
As a person. Just, there have been situations in my life where I would love to be able to just go just, as wild let and loose. As that. But I haven't had enough cocaine. So that's the thing.
One day you'll get enough cocaine to go absolutely fucking wild.
Thanks for the encouragement, Beck. I'll work on it.
You can have Scorsese movie level cocaine. I feel it. We can get there.
If you believe it, you can achieve it.
If you believe it.
That is one crime these movies continually commit, is making people who are on tons of cocaine look hot.
That's
true.
We need to stop the lies.
As a comedian, that is not the case. Know that for a fact.
I mean, it does, you know, it nosedives towards the end. She gets the mullet.
Can
we talk about the mullet? I thought that was a wig, like a disguise, because we first are introduced to the mullet when she's kidnapped her daughter and is meeting up with Lester Diamond. So I'm like, okay, it's okay, guys. It's a disguise. It'll come off. And then it doesn't.
It doesn't. And then it stays.
And it's really disturbing. I don't like it.
Shame. So, yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
Coke, cautionary tale. Glamorous for a while.
Yeah.
How you'll end up. Mulleted and munted.
So you didn't like the movie. What was your least favourite part?
Mm.
I mean, a lot of the scenes were just so drawn out with this dialogue that felt so repetitive, and I just didn't care.
Everything in so much detail about, like, the hierarchy of how casinos work and everything. Yeah. There was a bit that was like, okay, are you training me to work here? Like, do I need to know all this?
Yeah, and also, like, I had to pause and Google, what is a Teamster? And I still don't really understand what a Teamster is. It's something to do with unions and... still that... I it sort of assumed that I already knew a decent amount about the mob and its connections to unions.
Yeah,
and
it really did.
So that's why I was, just the whole way along I was a bit...
What is this? Why do I care? Yeah. Why should I care?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's it. And
that's the general vibe for most of our viewings of these movies. Why?
Yeah. And also, why did the violence need to be so graphic?
Yeah,
a lot of things could have been maybe more impactful had they been implied rather than actually seeing a guy's hand getting pulverized by a hammer and the head in the vice.
I had to look away. I couldn't.
I found it bizarre for myself that I was having that reaction. I was literally watching it through my fingers over my eyes.
Yeah.
And like I said, I love a horror movie. But somehow when that's that kind of graphic, saw level torture porn is taken out of the context of a horror film, is really off-putting.
It's just a Bobby De Niro, Sharon Stone film.
Yeah.
Like, my partner was watching that part at the same time as me, and I just, like, was watching, looking at him, just being like, just can you describe what's happening? Because I can't physically watch this. I'm like, is it squishing? Is his head squishing? He's like, yeah, his eyes are bulging. Like,
because also, like,
oh, that was so bad.
Yeah. The whole face just, like, going purple. Because with, like, horror movies, like, you know what you're signing up for. You're, like, somebody going to get stabbed to a billion little pieces at some point. Mm. With this, it just came out, the, like, extreme violence just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And every time that it happened was so fucking intense. Like, the baseball bat scene at the end.
With the brother.
Yeah, I skipped over it and then just all of a sudden saw them in the hole and I was like, this is even worse.
Yeah,
and then buried alive. Like, like they just took it a few steps too far.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the killings were really sort of glorified and made to look really cool as well. Like just 100%. Walking past someone and casually boom, boom, boom with a gun and they're gone.
With a cool music track underneath.
Yeah.
That's very Tarantino.
Totally.
Like glorifying violence and making it cool.
And then the fact that he survived his car blowing up. Come on. And he's dragged out of the car and he's just got like one of his bell bottom flares is on fire or something.
He's got some soot on his face and that's it.
Oh, please.
Yeah, they started with that.
That was so weak. Yes, so that's the opening scene.
If you start with that and you're not on board, the next 3 hours are going to be torture.
Whimper after that. I thought if he was going to survive, then he was going to be like disfigured.
There'd be ramifications of any sort.
Yeah.
Not just a dry cleaning bill.
Sally, I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you guys notice in that explosion scene, the very splits, and I accidentally caught this, the very split second before it blows up, Robert De Niro obviously turns into a dummy in the front seat.
Oh, okay. I will go back and look
it's
at that.
It's amazing. Watch that as well, yeah. It's so funny. It's almost comical. It was done on purpose because he's like leaning like this because he's like turning on the radio or whatever, and then all of a sudden he's. It's great. Which
spotted.
I was not expecting for Scorsese in the 90s. Like, he's meant to be a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
How do you let that slide?
But I don't like, dummies have come such a long way. Like,
That's true.
Do we remember the dead bodies from Indiana Jones?
Oof.
embarrassing.
Are you a Harrison Ford fan? What are your thoughts on Harrison? This is a safe space.
I was a very big Indiana Jones fan in primary school. That and Jaws were my obsession movies in late primary school. I haven't gone back and rewatched them for a very long time. There are certain things that I like to preserve in my childhood that I know I loved and I don't need to go back and look at again. And I haven't seen Star Wars since forever. And actually, I am watching Shrinking at the moment that Harrison Ford is in.
Is he in that? The one with, what's his name? From Jason Segel.
Yeah.
Ah.
Really well-written, well-performed show. And he plays the crusty, grumpy old man because he always plays the crusty,
that's
grumpy old man.
That's his only character is himself.
That's his true self.
And no one does it better than Harrison.
No one.
But it's fun to see that in a comedy setting.
Oh, it's a comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
We might need to watch that because he's becoming an enemy. Well, he is an enemy of the podcast. Yeah. So we need to... ease off a little bit.
This might shift your perspective a little bit.
That actually
There's one scene
lovely.
Where he gets really high on a lot of weed gummies and
cute old
ends
man
up at
gets
a party.
High.
You'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
He does it very well.
We do.
That sounds
that.
Endearing and like the exact thing we need for Harrison. We need to see him in a more vulnerable, endearing role because he's always just played these assholes that we hate. So.
Well, it's perfect because his story arc is that he's always been this very sort of stoic, crusty old man who's just found out that he's developed Parkinson's. And so he's got to let his family know and all of his co-workers are going to have to rally and give him extra support and he has to let them for the first time. So he's starting to sort of let his guard down and become a bit more generous and accept other people's generosity.
This is exactly what we need.
Yeah, we need to watch this.
Yeah.
So bad.
Thank you so much.
Get in touch and let me know what you think.
Thank you. I would love to.
So maybe it'll backfire completely and you'll hate him even
and
more.
And he's worse.
But I also hated Blade Runner and I've listened to your
episode. Great.
Thank
that,
you.
Great.
Yes, so
thank you so much.
I was definitely closer to your end of the spectrum thank before so I watched this.
What's your least favorite thing about this movie?
Oh, just all the... talking and just how the whole vibe of this movie is I was the smartest guy in the room. Everyone else was dumb except for me, and that just over and over and over again of just the same monologue of this guy thought he was smart, not smarter than me, got him. It just happened so many times. The only storyline I gave a fuck about was Sharon Stone and Robert De Niro's characters. That's how I picked the parts that I skipped. As soon as they had a big scene that ended, I was like, all right, I can skip the next 3 minutes.
Did you see when she hooked up with Joe Pesci?
Yes. That was, I'm going to be honest, I found it kind of hot and I hate myself for it.
In the room?
Not like in a like I think I kind of know what you mean. In a way of like, this is so forbidden. I don't think I should even be watching this.
Yeah.
Like, this feels very illegal kind of thing. Anyway.
What about it felt illegal?
Just like the fact that like we were watching someone like cheat on their partner and then also that he like shoved her head into his crotch. Oh. I was like,
but consensually, like she was into it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she was seducing him.
Yeah.
She was manipulating him completely, right? That was my take on
that
it.
That was, yeah, I think.
She needed him to do certain things.
What does she call him? Her sponsor. She's like, I need a new sponsor.
Yes.
And she's going to be like, you're going to protect me. You're going to take care of me. I was like,
no, he's not. He's Joe Pesci. He's going to get another facelift. He would.
How's the scene where he's talking about veal with another random woman as he walks her towards her car and he's talking about white meal versus pink veal and milk-fed veal.
Oh, yeah.
And as he's talking about that, she leans over and starts going down on him.
Like, God, girls.
That is such a gross male fantasy.
It is.
Right? Like, that is exactly the sort of scene that I can imagine tickling the fancy of those boys at drama school.
Yeah. So that's how it's going to be, dudes. Yeah. That's how it's going
to
be.
Yeah. Can't wait till I get to have my moment like that.
Yeah. Can't talk about feeling a blowjob.
I'm saying the most interesting, exciting thing in the world. And she just finds me so cool and interesting. She has to suck my dick.
She can't wait a second longer. Yeah.
To get at that penis of mine.
Yeah.
Were there any moments that you guys liked in this film? Obviously Sharon Stone.
And her outfits.
Yeah. Any like, I guess, maybe like storyline stuff. Actually, did you guys find in any way interesting like learning about how people cheat at casinos and all the corruption and all that kind of stuff? Or was that really boring?
Mm. Well, I think to me, I was like, it's so outdated. Like you can't do all of this shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the whole like finger tapping thing. I was like, that's... I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm too scared to ever even conceptualize cheating in a casino. Yeah. They'll find me and they'll take me away.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to Vegas?
Yes, we went together.
Really?
And we saw the Backstreet Boys
Get
live.
Out. Ah.
That was awesome.
When?
2018.
Okay.
That was, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That was sick. Have you been?
Yes.
Yeah.
Once. And I did not bet a single dollar.
Yep.
Because it just doesn't appeal to me.
Oh, no. I'm not a gambling man.
And I've never really loved the idea of Vegas. I always assumed I'd go at some point. I was lucky enough to go for work.
Oh, nice.
And having been there once, that was enough.
That's enough.
It was even grosser than I'd imagined. And we stayed in a really, really gorgeous hotel and went to lovely restaurants, went and saw Elton John at Caesar's Palace.
Oh, my God.
Did it really well, but just everything in the atmosphere of like what they do to manipulate the lighting and the oxygen, and they still have smoking indoors there, and
insane.
Like it was all the gambling no going on walls, 24 hours stuff. A day, like all of that. I've always felt very icky.
Yep.
So yeah, watching a movie that's just that
literally
does not appeal.
Yeah, so. Agreed. Yeah, gambling makes me very anxious and nervous.
Mm.
Just even watching people gamble, I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
We I think put $1 into this.
We did just to be like say that we slot machine gambled in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think we put $1 in the slot.
It was literally, I think, yeah, $1.
Like, we'll get addicted.
And it's just kind of like, it's just gross over there. It's just so commercial and bright and just cheesy and everything. Like Robert De Niro says in this movie, like obviously after this era, Vegas changed a lot and became a lot more commercial.
Mm.
One of a friend of mine who's American, when we were there, saw that we were there and texted me and said like, you're in Vegas, the place where Americans are not afraid to be Americans.
Yes.
And that's like a perfect description of Vegas. They're not afraid to be themselves.
Truly them at their worst.
Yeah.
Yes. Walking around with giant like...
Those drink cups with the... Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like it's just like a big fucking Easter show. It's a big, one big fairground.
Yeah. There were two moments that I had a good chuckle. First off, I really loved the opening montage of introducing Ginger when she was going around. You got to see her in her powerful prime.
Yeah, like, loved that. Yeah.
Practically running that city.
Yeah.
That was the best part for her. And then I had to laugh when she was doing cocaine in front of her daughter.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That came out of nowhere a little bit. That was like, she's a bad mum. Here.
Yeah. Looks at her daughter and he's like, you shouldn't do this. This is bad. That was an iconic moment.
That was.
And then I loved when in, I think it's Kansas City, the people who were sort of pulling the strings from a distance and managing the money, Italian family, dudes. And the old nonna is there and she's so offended by the obscene language that her son's using.
Yeah.
Which was just sort of a cute scene until I found out this morning doing a bit of Googling. That's Martin Scorsese's mom.
He's done that before.
Cameo. Yes. And she was so cute and she didn't know the script. So that's her honest reaction. She hates swearing. And so he'd engineered this scene so that she would be sort of confronted by these actors dropping the F-bomb again and again and again. And so all those shocked moments, that's her genuine reaction. So I want to go back and rewatch that scene.
That's pretty fucking cute. Yeah. That's adorable. She was adorable. Mm. He's done that before. He had his mum in Goodfellas as well.
Oh, yeah.
His mum played Joe
and
Pesci.
The Godfather too. She always makes a little drop in.
Right.
And she's always playing the nonna who's like making food or like telling the boys they need to settle down and find a nice girl. And
oh.
Yeah. So she's a Nepo baby. That's interesting.
Nepo nonna.
Nepo nonna. That's gorgeous.
Adorable.
You don't get a lot of those in Hollywood.
You don't.
And that's got to change.
That has to change.
Nepotism needs to go the other way in the
really
age scale.
It really does, yes.
Did this movie live up to your expectations of what you thought it would be?
True.
I thought Michelle Pfeiffer was going to enter the scene at some point.
Me too.
So, and I don't know why I thought that. There must be some other sort of casino cocaine-based movie that I thought she was going to
fit in.
Scarface. Okay.
Good job.
There it is.
Because I could see that too. I've seen her in that slinky dress on cocaine roll.
When she comes down the elevator.
Yeah.
The costumes exceeded my expectations.
Yes.
Especially for Robert De Niro. The men in general, but especially for Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
All the sets, I think, exceeded my expectations as well. And the performances were terrific.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It's too long.
In a way, it's like with that equation, maybe I should have liked it more than I did. But if there's not a good story.
But that's the thing.
Then what's the point?
Yeah. Mm. I read that Scorsese actually said, which I think is so rude, at one point he said there is no plot in this film.
Oh, why there are we here?
But like he said it like, there's no plot. Like, that's how good of a storyteller I am. It's just a bunch of stories linked together, but there's no actual overarching plot.
Then just give us a fashion show because that was the only good part.
Just give us a nice montage with a cool backing track. Becca, did you exceed or unseed your expectations?
It nearly won me over because, again, beautiful, stunning. Mm. Their house in San Diego was... Ugh. On screen for like 2 seconds and it's my dream house.
Yeah.
And I want it.
Carpets everywhere.
Oh, and all the different colours of carpets you could want
levels.
In every room.
I want 2-3 levels in one room.
Yeah. A thick shag pile, impossible to get any stains out of.
Yes.
My dream.
The wardrobe alone.
Yeah. Oh, that walk-in. Oh. And when she comes in, like I loved all this. The beginning stuff before stuff went bad. I love all the glitz and the glamour. I love her walking in and just being like, oh, all of my things are here.
Stuff,
and she's just like looking through, but they're all been set up in this beautiful, rich, like walk-in wardrobe. I'm like, you deserve this, Ginger.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that was very exciting.
Mm. But then the length of it was just they could have cut out at least 45 minutes.
I think so.
At least 45, if not a whole nother hour and a half. Because it was just, and it was we watched a 3-hour movie last week. We watched Magnolia.
True.
And that didn't feel like 3 hours.
That's true.
Felt like 90 minutes. Mm. And this felt like 7 hours. It was so drawn out.
Yeah. I found that I was unable to pay attention because I would keep looking at how many more minutes are left.
Like
a countdown.
Yeah.
Surely something's going to happen.
Yeah, yes. We're in the story yet, right? Yeah. We're there, but no.
And then it was annoying then how it was like, and everything went back to how it has always been.
Yeah.
And I was like, then what was the point?
Yeah.
We just watched a woman die slowly through everything she didn't want to do.
Because of you, the guy who survives.
Yeah. And he's like, the only pretty one good life. Yeah. Okay, yucky. Right.
And then, of course, it's all his version of events because it's based exactly. on his memoir. Mm. He really did have a TV show.
Really? In yeah. the casino?
Because that was such a weird little twist.
That was so strange.
All of a sudden he's on telly. And yeah, he genuinely did have a TV show in the 70s. You can look up clips online. Yeah.
We're absolutely going to post a clip
yeah.
on social.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all because every confident man thinks he should have a talk show though.
As soon as I saw Robert De Niro sitting on a talk show set in that casino, I was like, of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course he thinks he can run a talk show.
Yes.
Okay, questions for you, Jacob.
Yes.
Did this movie make you horny?
Honestly, I think it was just too boring.
Yeah.
to be anything other than a bonus shrinker for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like we keep saying, visually very, very gorgeous. Beautiful. But yeah, no, nothing mm-hmm, got me mm-hmm. excited. Rebecca?
Weirdly, that blowjob scene, which I'll have to talk about in therapy.
No, I get that. I get yeah. it. It's half scary and disturbing because, like, yuck, Sharon, you can do so much better.
Yes.
But also it was, yeah, it was the secrecy, the power dynamics that were at play. They were both gaining something from it. Like, no one was a victim.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, yeah.
So that, but not like proper, like, no. like a,
yeah.
kind of horny. It's a
little misty.
yeah.
And then just all of Sharon
yes.
Stone in every shot, every outfit, every flick of the hair, I was enchanted.
Every bright, dazzling smile.
Even with the mullet, I was like, she could still she could still get it. Mm. Absolutely.
I don't blame her. It's a sign of the times that she was in. Everyone had mullets back then.
Mm. What about you, Alexia?
Yeah, for the same reasons as you guys. Yeah, not really, but so beautiful. Would you recommend this movie on a date?
Oh, yeah. like, I don't think movies are a great idea for dates, full stop.
Thank you.
Okay, you're the first person to ever say that on this podcast, and I have to agree.
Yeah, how has no one given us that answer
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
Like, later on into the relationship, sure.
Yes.
But, yeah. like, that's the same as going to see a movie with your friends.
Yeah, exactly. Really. Yeah. Like, you're just sort of, watching the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, first, like, 5 to 10 dates, like,
love that.
Yeah. And this movie in particular, obviously just way too long.
Just too long.
And I think polarizing as well. Mm. You wouldn't want something that's going to split the two of you potentially.
Yeah. Yep. If he's like, yeah, crazy bitch, get in the ground or whatever. You're like, okay. Beck, would you recommend this movie on a date?
No.
No, me neither.
No. I would recommend just watch Goodfellas and then watch like a montage on YouTube of all of Sharon Stone's outfits. And you've seen the best parts.
You really have.
I'm sure there will be a montage. Like, we'll post that.
Yes, please. Yeah. Just for me.
Yes.
What about you?
No, absolutely not. Just for nothing more than it's too long and rude.
And rude?
It's rude how long it is.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And too rude.
I thought you were like, Martin Scorsese's mum was right. There was too many swears.
Ratings. How many
bumps of cocaine in front of the baby? Out of 5.
Exactly my brief, but that's fine. how many bumps of coke in front of a baby do you give this movie, Jacob? Out of 5.
Okay, we'll have one bump for Robert's outfits, Bobby's. We'll have another bump for Sharon's outfits. Mm-hmm. We'll have a bump for all three of the main characters' performances.
Lovely.
So 3 out of 10.
Okay, cool.
Feels about right, but I could maybe bump it up to a 4th bump if I think about all the sets and all that sort of,
Yeah, 4 bumps.
But no, that I feel is a bit too generous. So we'll go 3.5 bumps.
I was going to say, that's a nice. Really, that's a good night. What about you, Rebecca?
I will have to give a big fat bump, of course, to Sharon Stone. One that you're like, I don't think I need another bump for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Level of bump. and then
Remember, guys, this is in front of a baby.
Did I stutter?
It's very right if you start off by saying you shouldn't do this. This is bad.
Yeah. So it's fine. Yeah.
Don't try this
then
at home.
It's allowed.
It's like a trigger warning at the start of anything. You can say anything after a trigger warning.
Yeah.
And then the crew and the art department, they get another fat bump.
Yeah. Mm.
If you had both those bumps in a night, you might be like, I'd have to quit tomorrow. Mm. And that is, I think we're, oh, maybe like a little.
We need one for the soundtrack. Sorry to interrupt, yes. But I just remember this soundtrack was fantastic.
This was awesome.
Awesome.
The needle drops again and again and again. I was like, oh, this makes it worth it.
Yes. It was very ridiculous. You know what? A little nail bump or a little key bump. Mm. A little key bump for the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In front of a baby.
Respectful.
On a Fisher Price key.
No, cute.
Better than shelving it in front of the baby.
No, 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 no. That would be inappropriate.
That would need a big trigger warning, yes.
Alexia?
I just brought up the wiki. I was going to look up something that we were just talking about, but now I can't remember. Anyway.
Can you do a bump in front of a baby?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Should you? It's for the jury to decide.
Ask Ginger. I give it 6. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Uh-huh. That's a good night.
I do. Yeah. I do.
Miss money bags here.
Stop. I do agree with everything you guys don't like about the movie, but I don't know, just something. Maybe it was like right place, right time the other night when I watched it. I was just, I don't know, like in a good mood or something. And it just, all of the intricacies of how the casino works and the double crossing and stuff. It hooked me and I was in and I was following the plot, which doesn't normally happen in these kind of movies. So I have to give it to Scorsese for that. So I'm going to say 6.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. If you said 7, I would stand up and I would walk.
Yeah,
out
I could
studio.
Not. I cannot bump it up to 7.
Like you've lost the mission statement. You've gone crazy.
That's what I'm worried about. Yes. That was Casino with Jacob Stanley. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we'd love to have you back. If there's any movies that you do like, we'd love to talk to you about.
Chicago sounds like a fun one.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right. Look forward to it.
Great. Cool. Thanks, Jacob.
Oh, we have a little sign off that we do. So, Jacob, Alexia, our dear listener, akumite to you.
Akumite to you and yours.
Yes! Great.